This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
This award-nominated program brought to you by Mercedes-Benz. Innovation runs in the family. Intelligence runs in the family. Extraordinary runs in the family. Mercedes-Benz range of SUVs. Every member waiting to impress. Learn more at MBUSA.com. Play of the day coming up. Stat of the day as always. I've been talking about this. How many players are scoring at least 30 points in games this year? 18 players scored 30 or more points on Sunday. That's the most 30-point games in one day in NBA history. That broke the record. And that record was set last month of 16.
Ow, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day, stat of the day. This is the stat of the day.
Woo. Yes, Paul.
Is there more to it than just 3-point shooting is up? And I looked at it, like teams are shooting 22-23. The entire league average from three is 36%, which is pretty good. But there's been other years. 2009, the league average was 36%. But in 2009, players are, you know, the average shots per game was 18 threes attempted. Now it's 34 threes attempted. But it's the past couple of years, it's been 32, 33, 34, 35.
But the percentage is better, isn't it?
Not really. There's been good years and bad years. It's about the same. It's about 36, 35.5%. But the attempts are way up.
Okay.
But, you know, attempts were up a couple of years ago. But why is this year different? It feels like there's something different about this year with overall scoring. And it's not just threes.
Well, if you're looking at three-pointers made, three-pointers attempted, this year you have 34 three-pointers attempted. And they make 12. 2019, 34 and 12. 2018, 32 and 11.5. 2021 was 34 and almost 13. They're just taking more threes. Where if you look back, they're making probably five more threes per game. Now, you're getting teams that are averaging. Teams yesterday in their games averaged, I think, over 120 points per game. Is that good? That's what we want. We want more offense. We want it in the NFL. We want it in the NBA. Baseball, you know, they think there's going to be more runs scored. Batting averages are going to go up. Everything's going to be great. More offense, more offense, more offense. I don't mind more offense. It's how we get to more offense. You know, you look back at hockey, the New Jersey Devils were really successful playing defense. They'd score a goal, and then they would, you know, depend on Marty Brodeur just to play great defense, and that was it. And then they opened up hockey to get more scoring in there. Baseball. I'm going to throw it, you swing and hit a home run. That's baseball. Basketball, you're shooting threes. You take them, and it's the same. I don't know, it's not the same ratio, but if you look at the percentage of, you know, guys who are trying to swing for home runs, hit a home run, or strike out, I don't know if the percentage is anywhere near what you have with shooting threes in the NBA, because they take them, and it doesn't mean that they're going to make them, but they continue to take them. Yeah, Paul.
I found a couple stats that even says there people we're taking shots deeper into the shot clock this year, so it's not like the game is running and gunning and up, but they're saying it's ball-dominant guards are shooting more, and the best players are shooting more. So, like, Luka Doncic is taking more shots per game than the best player on the Mavericks a decade ago was. And their math says, this is CBSSports.com, is that since the better players are taking more shots, more of those shots are going in. There's not a balanced scoring on teams, which helps the overall scoring.
By the way, the Mavs and the Suns yesterday, this feels almost like WWE with Devin Booker and Luka. That nobody, like, they got in each other's faces, but nobody tried to break it up because they know they're not dumb enough to go, I'm going to throw a punch at you. It feels like there's some jabbing going on. There's some trash talk going on, and I love it. You know, and it feels like they know it's a bit. You know, it's not like it's going to be, I'm going to beat you up or we're going to get in a fight or anything. I'm going to play dirty on you. It just feels like those two are going at it every time they face each other. And by the way, Kevin Durant, sometimes he just makes it look way too easy. He just does. You're watching and you're going, wow, it's simple. Very, very simple what he does. Here's Devin Booker on his altercation. I'll put that in parentheses with Luka.
He said something to me the first, I responded. You know, you guys say you don't want everybody to be friendly. There you go. We got some smoke.
Do you think that traces back to the playoffs last year?
Yeah, I mean, it's just two competitors going at it. Like I just said, you got everybody speaks on, you know, how friendly the NBA is now and don't like that. And, you know, I have no problem with Luka on or off the court. But, you know, when we're competing, we're competing.
I love it. I'm okay with that. You know, I don't want something that's manufactured. But if it's real and they don't like each other, or they're just competing with each other, I'm fine with that. Dame had 41, Blazers with the win against the Magic. So that's 14 games of 40 or more points for Lillard, most in a single season in Blazer history. Giannis scored 23, handed out 13 assists, had 10 rebounds. That's his fourth triple-double of the season. Anthony Davis scored 39.
Yay!
Yay! And the Lakers are 11-1 when Anthony Davis scores 38 or more points. Now, those are always interesting stats. So if I just said to Anthony Davis, hey, you just get down low and you keep shooting just so you get to 38 points, that doesn't mean you're going to win. It's like when, you know, when the Rams rush for 100 yards, they're 12-0 this season. Well, if they just ran for 100 yards and that's all they had and no pass, you know, completions. So it becomes skewed when you say, wow, Anthony Davis, why doesn't he score more? They always win. Here's the problem. It doesn't happen that often, and he doesn't play back-to-back games. His second consecutive game with at least 38 points there. All right, went to a movie over the weekend, and I'll let you guys guess. Now, this was not my suggestion, but it doesn't mean I didn't want to go. I'm going to put that out there. I don't want to put any blame on my wife if you're going to read into it that there's blame. Todd, I'll start with you. I'm sure you're not up on the movies that are at the theater now, but I'll give you a first shot.
I couldn't think of an exact name, but I thought you'd see some kind of romance novel turned into a movie kind of thing.
Mm. But you don't know the name.
I don't know the
name. Yeah, probably not the best guy to go to with this. Seton O'Connor.
Cocaine Bear.
Cocaine Bear was suggested. That was not the movie. Marv?
Knock at the Door?
Knock at the Door. No. Paulie?
Scream 6? You saw the first five. You don't be left out.
Yeah. The movie that I went to see has a couple of Academy Award winners in it. I think. There's one Academy Award winner. There's an Academy Award winner. I think that actor has two Academy Awards.
So it was Cocaine Bear.
It was not Cocaine Bear.
Oh.
But I said to my wife, I'd like to see that in the theater.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Ant-Man, no. 80 for Brady.
Yeah!
What? Yeah. Oh, no.
Yes. Yeah.
You got to clear stuff like this with me.
You know what? Free your mind. The rest will follow. My wife goes, I'd like to see it. And I go, hon, I have to have a couple of beers before I go. And I did. I had a couple of beers. Sally Field, no S. And Jane Fonda,
Lily
Rita
Tomlin.
Moreno, and Lily Tomlin, and Tom Brady. Gronk's in there, Danny Amendola, Julian Edelman, and we went to see the movie.
Harry Hamlin signed.
Harry Hamlin is in there.
Oh, good hair.
Yes, Harry Hamlin hitting on Jane Fonda. Yeah. Yes, Paul.
Speaking of that topic, I'm going to beat Todd to the punch here. If you had to, who are you picking? Or if the opportunity arose.
Brady.
Oh, really? Out of the five? Yeah. Not Amendola.
Could be Harry Hamlin.
I'll tell you, Jane Fonda looked pretty good in the trailer.
She has she's got a lot of wigs that she uses in there. Sally Field is great. Sally Field does a great job with her portion of the script.
Wasn't my question.
It was not there were not a lot of laughs in it, but you would think there would be. Brady, I thought, was okay. He had some funny things in there. Yes, Marv.
Is it heartfelt if it's not funny?
There's some heartfelt moments that they're trying for. That, someone, could have health issues there. And I'm not talking about Gronk. Yes, Paul.
I'm going to go on a limb here. Was there a scene where there's a lot of wine and the women are dancing? There has to be.
No, I don't think so.
Then you didn't see it.
I don't think that there was. They got excited, and there was drinking involved. Mm-hmm. But I don't.
There has to be a dance.
There was a scene in the movie on eating wings, hot wings,
and that got no laughs.
No laughs.
No, from you on that?
I laughed a couple of times, but there were only. One, two, three. There were six other people. So there were eight people in the theater. And so, when you try to open a beer in the theater and you're waiting for there's some kind of noise or something.
Brought?
Yeah. Yeah. I had to bring it. Oh, I brought it. Yeah. I had to have a beer. So.
If you got arrested somehow.
I know. Or got kicked out.
The headline in the police blotter.
Yeah. Yeah. But I did buy popcorn. And if they had beer there, I would have bought a beer, but I brought a beer in. And then you're waiting for that. Okay, there's going to be something that has some noise. And I never time it right. It's always like, oh, no. And all of a sudden you're like, damn it.
So there's no car chase scene in 80 for Brady?
No, there's no Michael Bay explosions or anything like that. But would I recommend 80 for Brady? No. 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 No.
It got decent reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, just a touch above average. A movie that's doing very well, Creed 3, with Michael B. Jordan, who's been on our show, getting totally great reviews.
How many movies have they made with the Rocky franchise?
So there'd be Rocky 1 through 5, and then the modern Rocky Balboa would be the 6th. And then I think there's three Creed movies, at least 9. Right?
How many billions?
Oh, boy. Well, yeah. The Creed movies are good.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. Michael B. And I think he directs this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But.
He's in pretty good shape.
Not as in good a shape as the guy he fights against.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, that guy. No, that guy's. He looks like he could be a professional bodybuilder.
We just watched Rocky IV this weekend.
Yeah.
And let me tell you one thing about that movie. It wastes.
Wait, are you just getting around to Rocky? Like, what made you go, hey, Rocky IV, I think we're ready for this.
You know what? We usually do like a movie night at my house on Fridays. And there are the two most painful conversations to have are what do you want to eat and what do you want to watch? And so we kind of set parameters sometimes where it's just like, all right, Creed is out. So just find a Rocky movie. You know what I mean? And then you just kind of pick the movie like that.
Okay.
And so anyway, we watched Rocky IV. And that movie wastes no time whatsoever. It's only like 90 minutes long. You get in. I'm going to, spoiler alert. Apollo dies. Rocky agrees to the fight and trains. And then they fight. And it's like, that's it. They just, there's no other conflict. There's no other, like, well, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't do this or whatever. He has one fight with his wife and is like, all right, see, I'm going to Russia.
Too soon, bro.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I just appreciate that there's not, they didn't feel the need to drag it out to 2 hours.
Yeah, Marv.
And that workout montage, the hearts on fire.
Oh, dude.
It's almost as good as You're the Best Around from The Karate Kid.
Yes. You're the best.
I don't know what this is going to do to help me win this fight, yeah. But hearts on fire.
It's so good. I love, too, that the lyrics are like, you've taken the fight. You know, like it's literally a man against man. Like it's exactly what's happening in the thing. It's a great montage, though.
Mm. One of the old-time montages. Oh, yeah. Movie history.
Yeah, because it's like 30 minutes long.
By the way, Academy Awards are next Sunday, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Top Gun Maverick will probably clean sweep.
Well, okay.
Because it saved the movie industry,
did.
Apparently.
It, Steven Spielberg came out and said Tom Cruise saved movie theaters. Saved them. Single-handedly. That doesn't mean he's going to get the Academy Award.
Lifetime achievement.
Yes, he should. Yes, Paulie.
I think Tom Cruise saved him for Tom Cruise. As long as he keeps making movies that are blockbusters, he'll do well in the theaters.
I think he does well outside the theaters. I think he does well with streaming his movies.
I saw a stunt that he did. He drives a motorcycle, and he's wearing a parachute.
Yeah, he drives right off the cliff.
That's actually him?
Yeah.
Whoa, man.
Yes.
How is that insured? Or how is that approved?
Well, I'm going to guess. Go to Tom and say, Tom, do you approve this? Yes, I do. Okay, go ahead.
That's like one of the best parts of watching movies at home now is that you get all the add-ons when you rent it or whatever. Yeah. And every Mission Impossible has making of the stunts, and they show him how he actually did all of these climbs or he's hanging out of a plane or whatever. It's pretty awesome.
He saved the movie industry.
Single-handedly.
Yes, he did.
With one crappy movie.
Over.
What?
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Why? How can you say that?
It wasn't crap. Actually, it was very entertaining. It just isn't Oscar worthy. It was a very entertaining movie.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
it was. It's exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
And I enjoyed it. I appreciated that.
I remember when we kept saying, when are they going to do a Top Gun sequel? And Paulie goes, I already got the script written. Paulie gave me the script. I went to see it. And he goes, and? I go, you nailed the script there, Paulie.
Made it like years ahead of time.
Yes, he did.
That's exactly what it was.
Yes. You had a beach scene, tossing the football, shirts are off.
Love interest.
Yeah.
Sons come back.
Yeah. Yeah. He comes back. He's the rebel. He's the maverick.
He's got to jump back in the plane.
Yeah.
Save the day.
Save the day.
Love interest, yeah.
Duel. Yeah. Jennifer Connelly. Love interest. I loved his love interest. Yes, Paulie.
That's probably Tom Cruise's genius, though. He gives the audiences what they want. It's like these Creed movies. There's not a big curveball. It's not like Creed goes to college. He's going to fight some dude, and he's going to probably, there's going to be some trials and tribulations midway through the movie, Creed, and then he's going to kick someone's ass at the end.
Yeah. A little bit of self-doubt overcomes it.
Creed get through college algebra?
Creed goes to Europe to find himself. No, he's going to beat someone's ass.
Creed
does yoga in India for a month.
Creed goes into a dark place for 4 days and comes out, and he decides he's going to play for the Jets.
There it is.
I like how there's a report that Derek Carr is leaning towards the Jets. Like, literally? Like, is he leaning, or what's that mean, he's leaning? And does Derek Carr get to make the choice here? Is it the Jets who say, you know what, hold on here. I'm leaning towards the Jets over Carolina and the Saints. Yes, Tom?
I thought it was more the Jets leaning toward him. I know he wants to make it sound like he's got his pick of the litter of Carolina, the Saints,
but
the
I
Jets.
Think it's the phrase is that he's leaning towards the Jets. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I heard, but it sounded weird to me, too. Like, isn't it the Jets that are deciding whether they want to go all in on Derek Carr as their quarterback?
But then there was another report that it basically the Saints are ready to make an offer to bring in Derek Carr. And then you have the Carolina possibility here. Anthony Richardson is he done with his pro days or his combine days?
All the measurables are in. Tomorrow is hand size Tuesday.
Ooh.
So I can't spoil that. But Anthony Richardson, the Florida quarterback, measured 6'4" even, 244 pounds.
244?
244. That's official.
He's like Dante Culpepper, man.
Right? And 6'4", probably Cam Newton measured at 6'4". I think Cam may have been just a touch heavier, but I got to check that. He ran a 4.43 40-yard dash, which would be good for a wide receiver or a running back. And he crushed everyone in the vertical jump, the broad jump, and everything else.
I don't know if those things mean anything. and he throws the ball so hard. I don't want my quarterback who throws it extremely hard. I want him to be extremely accurate and have a catchable ball. But he's got all the measurables, which still bring me back to didn't complete. I think he completed like 58% of his passes. And his numbers were okay. I think he rushed 600 yards. You know, what do you have, like 16 touchdowns, 8 interceptions? Yeah, I'm pulling.
Yeah, his last year at Florida, Anthony Richardson, it was his third year, but he's considered a sophomore. He was a 54% passer, 2,500 yards, 17 touchdowns, and 9 picks.
Yeah, that's...
They're okay.
That doesn't jump out at me but the highlights in a positive
that were,
way.
The highlights that were posted in September, though, are yes. what a lot of people remember.
Yes. When he won the Heisman in September. September Heisman. SEPTEMVP is what we called him, right, I think? But Anthony Richardson, now it feels like it's Bryce Young, then Anthony Richardson, then C.J. Stroud, then Will Levis. But we got a lot of time before the draft. You're going to get, and everybody's pro day, it's rare when somebody has a bad pro day. And I'm sure Anthony Richardson is going to have an incredible pro day where he rolls left, throws back right for 60 yards, just like Zach Wilson did. But, you know, I love Dan Campbell of the Lions. We grade on tape, game tape, not guys running in their pajamas. Yes, Marv?
The upside is through the roof, Dan. Hot take.
And here's Anthony Richardson, the quarterback at Florida, and that is a 4.49. All right, let me take a break. Play of the day is up next. Phone calls as well. We'll dive into the Ja Morant story after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports, like a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite. Sounds good when it kicks in.
If it ever would.
It would. It will. Here we go. Here. Go. Right here. All together now. Yeah. No. I think Stuart Scott had a strikeout call. You can't stay here. Something about can't
go
home.
Go home, but you don't.
You can't stay here. Yeah, I think Stuart would have that with a called third strike. Yeah, Paul.
I think Stuart's was you got to get the hell up out of here. If I remember right,
we did that too.
Yeah, that was one of our favorites.
Yeah, booyah! We'll get to phone calls coming. Oh, what do we have here, Seton O'Connor? We need some. Do we have breaking news here? Do we have Derek Carr breaking news?
Sources, Dan.
No. Let's play the game. Do you have a report on where Derek Carr could be headed?
Yes.
Okay, let's play the Derek Carr is going to. Todd, I'll start with you.
The New Orleans Saints.
New Orleans Saints. Marvin.
Carolina Panthers.
All right, Paulie.
Oh, Marv just threw a curveball at me. Saints.
I'm going to go Saints as well. Seton O'Connor.
This team has emerged as a front runner, Dan.
Oh, okay.
An agreement could be reached as early as today.
Okay. Not earlier than today.
But maybe as soon as today.
Okay.
And the words closing in on a contract.
Closing yes. in.
Your New Orleans Saints.
Yay. I talked to NFL scout and said, if I'm Derek Carr, I would take the easy way out and go to the NFC South and not go to the Jets. And I go, yeah, but if you win with the Jets, he goes, he's not going to win with the Jets right away. Yeah, Paul.
Best starting quarterback today in the NFC South would be Desmond Ridder with the Falcons, Derek Carr with the Saints, the Panthers, I guess it's technically Sam Darnold?
Still.
Yeah, or the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Kyle Trask. Derek Carr may be the best quarterback in his conference.
Oh, he is.
Instantaneously.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But if he had gone to the Jets, he could be a first ballot Hall of Famer, according to the Jets. All right, so they're closing in on Derek Carr with the Saints.
As early as today.
Right. But there was a report earlier where he's leaning towards the Jets. Is that right? Or were the Jets leaning towards him?
Mm-hmm.
He's leaning away from the Jets, isn't he? Todd, is Dan Orlovsky going to join us?
He is. We should be hearing from him in the next few minutes or so.
Okay.
Yes, and he left where he had, it was Russell Wilson, Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, yeah. And now look at the other names he's with.
Yeah. Hey.
No offense.
Yeah. He looks around. He's like, I'm the man in the NFC South.
My conference.
Yeah. Who's the man? I'm the man.
My conference.
Yeah. Stat of the day brought to you by Panini America, the official trading cards of the Dan Patrick Show. We mentioned earlier, 18 players have scored 30 or more points on Sunday, the most 30-point games in one day in NBA history, breaking a record that stood for a long, long time. It was set last month. And feels like, come on down, everybody gets 30 at least. And I can't blame all of this on the Houston Rockets or the San Antonio Spurs, because they're usually coughing up, certainly the Rockets, a big game. All right, we'll talk to Orlovsky coming up. Sean in Florida, while we wait, best and worst of the weekend, Sean.
Hey, good afternoon, Dan and Danette. 6'5", 185. Just a shout out real quick. It's a good month to be a Florida quarterback. Kyle Trask is going to take over that NFC South. But anyways, best and best of the weekend. All wrapped around a little hate of Draymond Green, but Anthony Davis went off for 39 on him. He averages a double-double against Draymond Green because Draymond's trash. And then Chris Rock in the special also made fun of Draymond. So I thought that was pretty.
All right. Well, thank you, Sean. Yeah, I think there's a few people who aren't afraid of Draymond Green. I mean, Russell Westbrook's not going to take a jumper, but Draymond's not locking people down. Hasn't locked people down in a while. Joe in Myrtle Beach. Hi, Joe. What's on your mind?
GP, first time, long time. 5'10", 175. I'm going to share my, I'm going to go worse than best. Worst of the weekend. I got a vasectomy end of the last week. Best of the weekend, I've opened a 24-hour...
Wait a minute. How was the process of getting a vasectomy?
You know, it wasn't too bad. One day of ice, rest and recovery. Didn't keep the, kept the kids off of me.
Okay.
But no, the process went well. It was stayed awake for it, had good conversations with the doctor. I was kind of unsure if I should be looking at him in the eyes or not.
But they numb you?
Yeah, it's like it's like getting a shot in your arm, but it's in a little different sensitive area.
When can you resume relations?
This is the dumb part. Is they say nothing more than 10 pounds for 7 to 14 days, but hey, get back on the train after 5.
Okay. All right. Your best of the weekend was what?
I opened a 24-hour amusement park.
In Myrtle Beach?
Yeah. It's I think the only person that's allowed to come is my wife, but you know, I think Tyler took my call. He asked if he could join next time he comes to Myrtle. I think he's got to sign a waiver or two.
Joe, are you still under medication?
No, I'm not under medication anymore, Dan.
Okay. All right. I just wanted to make sure there. But good luck there, Joe. Sounds like a lot going on there. Dan Orlovsky of the Mothership, ESPN football analyst. You can watch him on NFL Live weekdays at 4. Like a smooth segue from a vasectomy to Dan Orlovsky, who joins us on the program, who has a lot of kids. Dan, good morning.
Also a vasectomy. I do have a lot of kids.
Oh, you did do a vasectomy.
Yeah. Funny story, Dan. So, good morning. Great to be with you. We have my wife and I have triplet sons. They're 11 right now. So we have three boys. We had the three boys. We had gotten to like, they were 3.5 years old. Just about, you could imagine having triplets 3.5 years, what that span of time was like. We had just like traveled with them and done it easily. They had just become like out of diapers, all that stuff. And I was like, yo, we made it. And my wife and I had kind of agreed, all right, we're not going to have another kid. Because our big fear was a fourth boy. And then you're always the boy of the triplets. You're the brother of the triplets. And I had a vasectomy planned. We went on a trip to Napa with friends. I had a vasectomy planned for the week after. On the plane ride home, my wife's like, I don't feel good. And I jokingly go like, oh, you're pregnant. You know, long story short, she was pregnant. And so the vasectomy got delayed a year, but I finally got it done.
A very potent Dan Orlovsky joining us on the program. Speaking of which, Anthony Richardson certainly came away as the combine darling here. I always get nervous when we have these combine darlings here. We fall in love with numbers here.
Yeah.
Are you all in on Anthony Richardson?
Yeah, I have been, honestly, since the first game of his that I called in college football, Dan. Like, I called one of his first games in college football at Florida, and I just remember being on air going, why is he not the starting quarterback?
Yes.
You know, and these coaches, like Dan Mullen, I have a tremendous amount of respect for. With the transfer stuff that goes on in the NIL, it's such a delicate balance of trying to – what quarterback, it's no longer just play the best. Like, I feel like they got to massage all these situations so much. So, but every game I called of his, I was always just like, this kid is so super talented. And then the more you heard about him, how intelligent he is, how hard he works, the character, all that stuff. And I just think of kind of taking a quarterback in the draft, we know is, you know, good luck, roll the dice type of thing. If you're rolling the dice, if you're taking your chance, you're big, you're fast, you're strong, you're powerful, you're a natural thrower, you have great intelligence, you work really hard, you've got good leadership skills and good character. Where is the glaring, oh my gosh, he might fail? And I would say this about him. Everyone talks about the completion percentage, right? 53%. If we broke it down, I did this for Josh Allen when he's coming out because I thought that was a crock of crap as well. This is like two more completions a game he's at like 61% completion percentage. Two completions a game, we're talking a throwaway, we're talking a missed check down. We're not talking these glaring issues, at least I don't see. And while I understand the combine pause on the numbers, we can't take it for granted either. I mean, what he is incredibly talented.
Okay, but you say this, and you're going to look at Josh Allen, but you're also using the same kind of comparison with Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson plays for Florida in the SEC, and Josh Allen lost all of his receivers there that last year when he was at Wyoming. So I can't buy into those comparisons between the two.
Florida had very little talent this year. I mean, I'm not...
Well, they didn't have Wyoming talent. They had better talent than Wyoming did. Josh lost his receivers after his junior year there.
It was... But I mean, this is a kid who, one, new coaching staff with Billy Napier. Two, so he's learning a new system. Two, their number one receiver was... I think he was the transfer from Arizona State. He's not going to go play in the NFL, or unlikely. I mean, I don't think he has a single offensive – I don't think Anthony Richardson had a single offensive player skill-wise outside of ETN's little brother that is going to be an NFL player.
Well, we know Josh Allen didn't have that.
Correct. But Josh Allen wasn't playing against Tennessee and Alabama and Georgia. And I mean, Josh Allen wasn't playing against those guys either. So that's my, like, that's well, I understand that we're talking, you know, like having very little help in the SEC conference.
Okay. But you see, you know? His player comp is Josh Allen.
That's for me. Yes. Cause that's where I think the path is, like, that's okay. Where every, and I think Josh, well, what I liked about Josh coming out of school was Josh was a very loose thrower. Like, it wasn't tight. That's why I keep saying he's a very natural thrower. Like, you know it, Dan. You better watch a guy pick up a ball and throw. Yeah, he was born to do that. I think Anthony has that natural throwing motion.
Okay, who takes him? Who should take him? If you were advising, you would say, this team, take him.
Yeah, I'll give you three. I think Indy, Houston, and Carolina should very much so be entertaining him, taking him. Mm. Dan, I said this morning on Get Up. If you're an AFC team and you don't have a really, really, really good quarterback, what are your chances in the next 8 years? Yeah. With Patrick, Josh, Joe, Justin Herbert, Trevor Lawrence, I mean, what are your chances with those teams? You got, those are five. I'm not even putting what Tua becomes.
Lamar.
Lamar situation. So if you're Indian, you're Houston, you're sitting there going, if we don't have a really good player that is physically talented and can go toe to toe with those guys, what are our chances? No matter what our roster is. And then Carolina, just because I think I could put any of these quarterbacks in Carolina, Dan. I just think it's a tremendous situation. It's the best situation for a rookie quarterback to go into this year. So I could put any guy at that spot.
Would you take Richardson over Bryce Young?
I wouldn't. If I was the general manager, I wouldn't. I think Bryce is a uniquely skilled player that has all the attributes that you look for. Like, I think Bryce, the only way Bryce doesn't become a very good pro is because he can't hold up. And that's a real thing for people. Like, they're gonna say, yes, we're okay with it, or no, we're not. And I understand that. If you're in the no, I'm not camp, if you're not okay with his size, then you probably take Anthony. If you're okay with his size, because his tape is the best and most impressive tape since Joe Burrow's tape in college. He's the guy that does the most stuff where you go, that's what it looks like since Joe.
But are you a believer in product of your environment that you're going to – can he hold up in Chicago, or would he be better served playing half of his game indoors in Houston or Indy?
I mean, I think any quarterback is better served than indoors. You know, I think so. I definitely would say that, yeah, that's probably the benefit. And here's the big challenge for you, more than the weather, Dan, is if you're an organization that you think you can draft and develop good offensive linemen, then you're in a good place because you're going to keep them clean. And just, I've said this, go watch his Texas game. Just go watch that game.
Yeah.
Go watch the Tennessee game and watch how much he operates in like very small spaces and count the amount of big hits he takes in those games. I understand it's the different level in the NFL. I get all that. But just watch him move. And it's almost in the Lamar conversation a little bit. Lamar doesn't take massive shots because of his short space just feel and awareness. Bryce has got that as well. I don't think he has to play inside, but I think it's a benefit, sure.
Derek Carr and the Saints, it looks like that could be close to happening. Your thoughts about that?
Yeah, I always felt like the news from this morning of the Derek Carr leaning towards the Jets was a Jets kind of gamesmanship thing. Hey, Aaron, we need a decision here to get the ball rolling on this. I think Derek's a good player. The Saints.
Oh,
are
you think 55. The Jets were playing? They were trying to toy with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, let's go. We need the time is of the essence here.
Okay.
That's what I thought it was.
Okay.
A gamesmanship play because. It just had seemed that they were attached to Aaron forever, and I knew Derek, you know, wanted to get a decision done. The Saints, I think of the last week, and it might be a little bit of a different number because I think they have reworked some contracts for $55 million over the cap.
Yeah.
So while, yes, I like Derek's fit there, what does the team look like? Because they're going to have to get rid of somebody or move money around somehow to fit his deal under there. So I just want to see what the makeup of the team is before – sitting there and totally making a proclamation. But yes, the initial starting point is really good spot, very young offensive line in some spots that is talented. Olave is a superstar. So there's initially the like of that fit for sure.
Yeah, I get it. And you're going to the NFC South where he's immediately the best quarterback in the NFC South.
But totally.
That's not saying too much. Will Levis was talking a good game. He's got a cannon for an arm and he couldn't wait to show it off. Did you come away impressed?
I expected Will to throw it really well. The only thing that I get with Will is this, and I like Will. I talked to Will. He's obviously a Connecticut kid. I'm rooting for him. You know, like I said this on the shows last week. I would play a couple specific clips of his game from last year. Like there's a clip where he misses some throws, and my naked eye, when you watch it, you're like, man, that's a bad miss. And I would want to play the play for him and just say, hey, tell me about what happened on this play. And I think you'll gather so much information from how does he see the field? What is he looking at? What is he being taught? How does he process information? Does he throw his receivers under the bus? Does he throw his coaching under the bus? Because there's some misses on tape where you go, that looks weird. And I want to know why that ended up looking that way. And then I think, you know, for a guy that, he's a little bit different or like the contrast of the Anthony Richardson for me. Cause Anthony for 6'4", 240 is loose. It's kind of Josh again, like for as muscular as he is, he's loose. Will's a little bit stiffer. He's a little bit stockier. And I think, you know, that messes with his lower half and upper half being connected and rhythmic. He's going to have to work really hard to gain rhythm in his passing game. Super talented and can throw it with anybody. I just think you want him to grow with the rhythm of the pass.
Always good to talk to you. Congratulations on the vasectomy.
Thanks, man.
Yeah.
Glad I got it done. Played basketball the next morning.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Just tough. Connecticut kids are tough. You know that.
Do you know, I told Lewis Riddick about you with your 40-yard dash. He did not know that you cheated to make yourself seem faster when you were recruited by UConn.
Lewis barely talked to me in Indy last week at the combine, so that's probably the reason why.
Well, his combine numbers, I think he ran a 4.740.
Lewis?
Yeah, at the combine.
That's pretty good for a safety, right?
I don't know. He's embarrassed by it. He was like, do not bring that up.
I cut a leg off for 4.7.
But what did you run when you made it a 37-yard dash?
I ran that day. I ran 4.8, and then at the combine, they just did it this morning. I ran 4.9. I told Greeny, that was like 12 years of wearing jump soles to school, ankle weights, running with a parachute on my back just to get to 4.9. So
wait, you ran a 4.9, and Lewis Riddick ran a 4.72.
Yeah, but Lewis is like 25 years older than me. Not 25, maybe 15. Sorry, Lou.
Yeah, but his time when he ran it and when you ran it. I mean, it doesn't matter. You still ran a 40-yard, then, you know.
Basically, what we're getting to is Lewis was not that fast, much faster
yes,
than me.
Yes.
Man, that's not going to fly with Lewis that much.
But you know what is so bizarre? Mina Kimes ran a 4.64.
There's no way.
Yeah,
Mina
she did.
Walk up the stairs.
Unbelievable. Yeah, she benched past 225 13 times and had a vertical of 34. I mean,
we make fun of Mina all the time because she's like, guys, I was such a good varsity soccer player. And we're like, yeah. Cool,
good to talk to you. Thank you, bud.
You're the best, bud.
That's Dan Orlovsky. You can see him Monday through Friday, NFL Live at 4 Eastern. We'll come back. Phone calls coming up. Back after this. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller. It would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tops.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces. Like, there was the hat. There was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was the... I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. Like, a lot. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my live sports and docs in one app, like Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. All in one app with one password. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Story has to be what's going on with Ja Morant, Memphis Grizzlies. And in case you're just joining us, Derek Carr is joining the New Orleans Saints, a four-year deal. We don't know the exact numbers other than it's a four-year deal. But those are some of the headlines. We did reach out to a source with the NBA and asking about, is this a suspension? And I was told that the league is not calling it a suspension. They're still investigating. And the team is not calling it a suspension. It feels like it's just semantics and agreed upon. You need to take some time off right now, and right now it's two games. DeMichael Cole covers the Grizzlies, beat writer for the Memphis Commercial Appeal. He joins us now. Update us on anything, if you can, DeMichael. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Dan. But you pretty much just stated some of the latest there. I think the main question that people have had is this the NBA, you know, kind of assisting the Grizzlies with this situation with Ja Morant stepping away from the team? From what we know, this is more, you know, the Grizzlies' decision to have Ja Morant step away from the team. And in regard to the NBA, there's still an ongoing investigation there.
Let's go back a year ago. That, you know, we could root for Memphis and it felt like they were an underdog story. Certainly you were getting highlights from them and Ja every night. And, you know, we were rooting for them and him. And then all of a sudden, I saw them change as if they had been the Golden State Warriors. Like they were cocky. You know, they hadn't won anything. And I don't know if you noticed a change in Ja Morant as well. Did this all just happen with Ja in the last year and nothing else attached to it?
Brighter lights, Dan. Just brighter lights. I mean, you know, covering the Grizzlies over the past two seasons, from a personality perspective, from Ja and the team, this is who he's been. This is who the team been in terms of, you know, playing with that, you know, that flamboyant style, you know, that confidence, you know, all the alley-oops, all of the, you know, the trash talking. They were trash talking everyone last season the same way that they are this season. But last season, they were the darlings, right? They were this up-and-coming team. Wow, they're not afraid of the Warriors. They're not afraid of this team. They're not afraid of Kevin Durant. But then this year, it's like, what have these guys done? Like, why are they talking? So it's kind of a different perspective of how people view the Grizzlies. But getting back to more in the case of Ja Morant, this is he kind of is a different type of person, Dan. He, in a way, you know, with all the social media things that he does, he prides himself on being one of the few athletes. This is something he said. He prides himself on being one of the few athletes who will show you his real life. You know, he doesn't hide the fact that he'll go out sometimes late at night. But guess what? He'll let you know that he's going to get up early that next morning, you know, to get back in the gym and things like that. So this is no secret, you know, to us on who he has been. But it's more of the, you know, the outside antics and some of those things kind of accumulating to the point where now everyone's saying, Ja, you know, you have to take a step back.
How did he get a gun in Denver? Why did he have a gun in Denver?
So from what we've heard, Dan, there's been no, you know, confirmation on whether it was his gun, whether it was an actual, you know, gun at all. So that is part of the NBA's ongoing investigation from what I've been told. That's one of the things that, you know, is being, you know, heavily looked at according to, you know, the NBA rules. The NBA rules prohibits, you know, guns, you know, in locker rooms, on team planes, and around team facilities. So if that is the case, you know, there could be some heavy punishment coming along the lines. But again, from what we've heard up to this point, there is no indication on if or if it isn't, you know, a gun.
Is this all just a coincidence that all this has happened with Ja or with his guys this past year? Like nothing else was happening off the court with Ja Morant prior to a run-in at the mall, playing pickup with a kid at his house, you know, his boys pointing a, you know, a laser light or whatever at the Pacers. I mean, this is new? All this stuff is just happening now?
It goes back to those brighter lights for him, right? You know, I remember early on in his career, his first couple seasons, right? Ja Morant, you know, it wasn't uncommon to see him show his face, you know, around Memphis, you know, and people would come tell me, hey, look, I saw Ja Morant at this place. I saw Ja Morant at that place. But he has a little bit of a different light on him now, Dan. And again, that's where we go back to. He's 23 years old. He has the weight, you know, of the Grizzlies franchise on his shoulder. He is arguably, you know, the biggest athlete to come through, you know, the city of Memphis up to this point. And he's one of the faces of the NBA. He's one of the faces of Nike. He is the face of Powerade, you know, at this point. And then there's Hulu, Body Armor, so much more at stake here. So I think what we're seeing is there are a lot of warnings issued out, Dan. You know, Ja, be careful. Ja, be careful. And now it's to the point he has so much more on the line. You're seeing, you know, these situations where, you know, things are being reported more on, you know, intensively and things like that. So that's where we are right now. And it's simple. You know, yes, he's only 23 and, you know, he's only been in the league 4 years, but Ja Morant has a contract that could be worth more than $230 million next season. Yeah. He has a sneaker deal with Nike that will, you know, a sneaker that debuts in April. So he has a lot to weigh here. And that's why all of this heat is coming right now, because he simply has too much to gain and a whole lot to lose.
What role does his dad play? He's always there, certainly at the home games.
Yeah. He's there on the road too. His dad is there everywhere. And
was his dad in Denver?
I'm not sure if his dad was in Denver, but I mean, I will say earlier this season, you know, he was there in Denver. He was in LA when they went on the road earlier this season, and pretty much he goes to the majority of the away games. So the thing about his dad is they have a great relationship, as you know, most people can see, and he does challenge Ja. You know, Ja will tell, you know, anyone that his dad is his biggest critic. His dad is, you know, his biggest hater sometimes. And what I've gathered, you know, just from talking to T over the years, you know, he challenges Ja in ways, but, you know, sometimes people question, you know, if T is, you know, saying some of the right things to Ja. And, you know, from the conversations I've had with the people around them, T does seem like he's, you know, telling Ja, you know, hey, you know, you know what's at stake here right now. But, you know, Ja Morant, again, he does have, you know, a mind of his own. And sometimes, you know, that seems to be the case when, you know, he does things that kind of fall back on into his hands sometimes.
You got a big story on your hands there. DeMichael, thank you for joining us.
Appreciate you, Dan. No problem.
That's DeMichael Cole. He covers the Grizzlies, a beat writer, Memphis Commercial Appeal. Well, that'd be an interesting story if Dad was in Denver with him. Yeah, see.
Yeah, the thing I've been thinking about, though, with T. Morant is, because he's getting a lot of criticism here, yeah, about is he too much of his son's friend and, yeah, not being his father. But, you know, we can't forget that T. Morant also did well enough to get Ja to this point as a father, right?
Yeah.
So.
I can give him credit, but then also, you know, this is when it is really important to understand with the bright lights and the money, yeah, and everything that comes. Now is when you need guidance. I'm sure that you got it when you were growing up and helped him get to this point. Now is what, this is the guidance that's most important.
I mean, maybe we're reading a little too much into a guy sitting courtside, you know?
Well, I'm going by what guys who cover the NBA, Stephen A. Smith, Jay Williams, you know, these guys are around the league. And, you know, I'm listening to what they're telling me about the relationship. And you get to the point where now your son's the breadwinner. Do you look at him differently? Does he look at you differently? And I don't know that, but I think you have to ask these questions, because what's at stake? You know, this wasn't something that was silly. This was something that could have been very, very serious. And that's why you have to ask these serious questions. Before it becomes serious, now you have to ask those questions. And his father and his mother did a great job. You know, they raised him. He had a chip on his shoulder. Nobody wanted to give him a scholarship. Got a scholarship. And then I wondered if he had the outside shot to be a star in the NBA. Proved me wrong. But these are things on the court he can take care of. The stuff off the court, I don't care how athletic you are, you got to be smart. And he hasn't been smart. But you're only 23. Yeah, Paul.
I know it's apples and oranges with the accusations and not comparing the two guys, but if you look at Michael Vick was the most popular player in almost all sports, but definitely in football. And I wonder if Michael had gotten in trouble for something smaller a couple years before the whole dogfighting thing broke. Would that have been a chance for him to get away from that?
But I don't think he looked at dogfighting the way we look at dogfighting. He grew up in a culture. And Mike explained that. You know, once again, I went to prison with Michael with Tony Dungy, and he was proselytizing with these inmates. He was telling them, hey, don't do what I did. He was trying to have them have some kind of, you know, awakening here. But in his mind, Mike didn't look at dogs the way we look at dogs. Like, this was a sport that he grew up with. of course it's wrong, and he went to prison for it. And he has, you know, since regretted that and certainly done a lot of things to try to help with the dog community. Even had to ask permission to be able to have a dog for his kids. And I just think you get to that point. It's different than if you said that Ja Morant grew up in this environment. Then, okay, I understand that you could be there with your guys or everybody carries a gun. You know, Jalen Rose, who I have great respect for. Jalen on the broadcast said, look, I've been there. But Jalen didn't have a father growing up, came from inner city Detroit, and he said, look, there are people who wanted to kill me. And I'm there with the gun. You know, I'm that kid. And the you know, lights are brighter on you. But he eventually got out of that. And he realized that if I stay in this world, I'm not going to survive or I'm not going to succeed. And that's what Ja Morant has to understand, is somebody who will tell him when he's wrong. And hopefully his dad has his ear or he'll listen to that. Because if not, this is going to be a cautionary tale. And that's why I'm not condemning him. He did something stupid. We've all been stupid when we're young. But you can make you can do something positive here. Let's do it before something happens. And somebody who covers the NBA said last night, if I know you have a gun, that's one thing. But if you show me you have a gun, it means something different. It's a different language to different people in different communities. And Ja Morant showing he's got a gun on Instagram live is just irresponsible. But it could be worse. It could be something where somebody gets shot. And that's the thing I think most people are, because he's a story to root for. He really is. But he's not helping his story at all. Yeah, Marv.
Yeah, I think that investing in security is just so important because obviously he is a target, or you know, most professional athletes are, but I think that can just save you so many problems. You've seen that over and over again with different athletes carrying guns and shooting guns and things like that. I think security
is
just,
security right. If you go to Denver and you're going out. Hire a driver if you're going out. Those are things that you have the money and then they can be the people who are going to protect you if you need that. You don't, if you're going to a strip club and you got a gun, why are you going to the strip club? Like, why do you need to carry a gun in Denver? Those are the questions I would certainly love answers to. How'd you get the gun in Denver? Did you take the gun to Denver? Was your dad with you in Denver? Like, you just kind of shake your head. Yeah, Mar.
I think actually this might be the wake-up call because of all the publicity this is getting. And look, he's probably getting talked to from Nike, Under Armour, you know, not Nike, not Under Armour, but Powerade, yeah. And all those other sponsors, yeah, that are just right
but
there.
But is
for
he
him.
Listening? Is he, that's what matters the most, is I'm going to listen to you. Like, who's he going to, they can talk to him, but is he listening? And that's what my fear would be with this, is maybe you think you're smarter than what you are. Hey, I got money. You know, I can figure my way out of these things. Nike's got a shoe coming out April 1st. His shoe. People got a lot of money invested in him. And you're the face of the franchise. And I get it. There's pressure that goes along with it. But if you're going to release pressure, I don't need you to have a gun on Instagram going live at a strip club with your shirt off. How about we do Pilates? How about we do, spin? Something. Yes, Paul.
If you go back to when we had Johnny Manziel on right before the draft, remember he was a fun guy in college, all the party videos and stuff. You talked to him about this kind of stuff. And I can remember all his answers to you. Dan, that was my past. I'm ready to get focused on being a new man, going to Cleveland, doing the right thing. I'm about being a professional. He said all the right things to us. And you go back and watch that interview, you're like, wow, Johnny Manziel, he's totally grown up. He told us what we wanted to hear.
He did. He did
for
that
20 minutes.
And he did that to teams as well. Johnny Manziel was smart enough to understand, I'll tell you exactly what you want to hear. But he kept thinking he was smarter than everybody. And I remember we had somebody reached out to one of Johnny's friends to help him. I had Ryan Leaf reach out to him. And he would not accept any help. And I said, you're going to be at 26. It's going to be over. And it was. And nobody cares about Johnny Manziel. Yeah, Steve.
It's because most of his supporters were like, well, what trouble has he ever gotten in? You know, he hadn't gotten in any trouble. He hadn't gone. So there was very much a mixed conversation around, does this kid have a problem or not? You know?
Well, he had a party problem that we found out later. That he did not put in the time at all. And then when he got to Cleveland, he didn't put in the time. He didn't put in the effort. He thought, he's Johnny Manziel, I'll figure this out. Now, they're apples to oranges there. Because Johnny Manziel didn't carry a gun. He wasn't pointing a laser at his buddies. I mean, that we know of. But he wasn't doing some of these stupid things. He was doing other stupid things. Like, hey, I need a weekend off. Can I go to Vegas? And he goes to Vegas. Like, there's a red flag right there. That ain't my quarterback. But it's a cautionary tale. It just is. You have it. You think you're invincible. You think you're invisible as well. Like, I can get away with these things. And you can't. It catches up with you at some point. It does. Yeah, Mark.
Yeah, best case scenario is that this is just a turning point.
Hopefully.
In 10 years, man, I was just, you know, I was wild at 23.
I'll take in 2 years. Like, when he's 25, I hope he goes, man, you know what? I didn't realize it. Or I thought I could get away with this. Or, you know, whatever his rationale is going to be. Maybe he just says, I don't know what I was thinking. And maybe that's probably what's going on. I don't know what I'm thinking. Yeah, Mark.
And I think professional athletes, sometimes we feel like they're dogs, like in age-wise, like you're 23, you have to mature. But he's only 23. I know he's doing something incredibly stupid, but he's really got to, you know, grow up. Hopefully, this will be the turning point. I believe in Ja.
Well, I don't know him, but I hope others know. You know, I think we met him once, and he was nice. But that's
oh, wishful thinking from my part. I don't know him either.
Well, no, because I think it was Jalen Rose who says, I know that he'll come back from this. We don't know that. We can hope that he does, but we don't know that. Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.